If you have a reactive dog, or maybe you're reactive yourself, then you're not going to want to miss what's coming up next on today's
Dog Style Podcast.
It's a podcast about dogs.
Dog Style Podcast.
If you're easily offended, stop listening right now. Bonjour, you beautiful thing. Okay, this is a cool one. Great story with a very reactive dog. Someone that bought the Seven Elements course and then decided to do e-collar one-on-one training with me. They're in California. And a really great story of an amazing dog. It was awesome. We get to actually hang out when I was in California working with a trainer, helping him kind of fix his business. And yeah, awesome story. Lots to unpack here. And for those of you that want to have a similar thing, it's now in the form of, you fill out a form. The form is in the description and I will answer your dog question. And if it's really interesting, maybe I'll give you a call. All right, here's the interview. Hello, hello, bonjour.
Hey.
And welcome to episode one, I guess. I'll do a whole intro and there assuredly will be music, but...
of course.
Yeah, how you doing?
Things are good. I miss working with you. I was super, super excited. I'm like, I'm definitely doing that 20-minute call.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so I mean, the idea around the podcast is like, you've got a problem. And What's cool is, I mean, people are going to find it very quickly. We've worked together, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like the answers I'm going to give you might be very different than I give someone else. I've got a really good understanding of you and your dog's relationship and right. all of that stuff. And you guys have done such an amazing job. Why don't you tell me and tell everyone, I guess, previously, like a little bit about Atlas's story and where you guys were and where you are now.
Yeah. So we rescued him in January of this year from the animal shelter, and he'd been there about 3 months, and I was volunteering there. So I kind of knew him, and he is a black German shepherd, about 4 years old, wasn't neutered, and seemed pretty dog aggressive in the shelter, but was just kind of having meltdowns, I think, because of his anxiety, I've kind of learned since. And so we adopted him and had to acclimate him to our two dogs, and he was seemingly dog reactive. I mean, he still does that. That's actually something I want to talk about with you. Sure. But he's calmed down so much. And so, you know, as you mentioned, we worked with you, and the e-collar training has been a game changer. Like, his off-leash recall is like outstanding, and I can just call him with my voice. You know, if something is really exciting, like another dog, or like he's too far off, I'll use the e-collar, but you know, often he just comes right back. He checks in with me. Cool. He's better off leash. And so that's kind of my struggle. Is now walking on the leash. He still pulls. He's still pretty dog reactive when we are close, you know, and our walks are, they just are in the forest on a single trail.
Okay.
And we just run into dogs, you know, it's like, that's our life. And so I kind of was hoping for kind of a refresher. I know we've talked a lot about it and what to do.
Okay. So tell me what you're currently doing. So let's isolate it to the specific incidents of you're on the trail. You're walking down this. Did you describe it as like a single lane woods trail kind of thing?
Sometimes
like it's quite tight.
Yeah, often it's tight, but often it's like a fire road, you know, so a car could go down, but a dog will be coming and we'll see them for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like that buildup, and he's like excited. I'm kind of trying to use the e-collar, but
okay. So dog's approaching you.
Yeah.
He sees the dog. What are you doing?
But before we find out what she's doing, a quick word from our sponsor.
Oh yes, good day everyone, this is Ricky from Ricky's Do-It-Yourself Carousel Company. Are you tired of waiting for the exhibition to come to your town? Why not have a carousel in your own backyard year-round? sure the skeptics say that it's extremely dangerous to try to operate and ride a carousel at the same time. And to those skeptics, I say, why not live a little, Aunt Sheila?
And now back to our show.
Okay, so dog's approaching you. Yeah. He sees the dog. What are you doing?
Well, I'm probably getting a little nervous.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And so what do you, as a result of you being nervous, are you doing something right away? Like, are you starting to pull the leash? Are you starting to talk to him? Are you starting to hit the button? What are you doing?
Both, all of those things. Not necessarily all of that. I kind of wait on the button and I think maybe I'm waiting too long.
Okay. So you're walking, he sees the dog. You see that he sees the dog.
I kind of get him closer to me, you know, like get a shorter hold
you
on
choke the, up on the leash. Leash.
Yeah. And he's wearing his prong and I just try to kind of keep walking by, but he'll get to the point where we're like this close, you know, quite close. And then he'll go like this towards the other dog. And I can't, even with kind of calm dogs, I was surprised because we were walking and he was chill and it was good. And I was like, okay, it's going to be fine. So I wasn't using the button.
Yep.
And then he went for the dog.
Are you watching the other dog? Are you watching the person? Yeah, are you watching him? Where, what are you watching?
All of it. I'm definitely all of it. I mean, he's easy to see. And because, you know, like you said, when the other dog that's coming is like, you know, rah, 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 screw you. That definitely amps him up.
You know, it's coming. Yeah.
Yeah. And so sometimes I even try to do a wide berth, you know, go off into the trees or whatever, which I don't know if that's making it worse because we're just not getting the practice to go by the dogs. But when he's off leash, you know, he runs up to the dog, but then I can call him back, or he runs, you know, by the dog and we go by the dog, you know, So the leash has been, and generally too, just pulling, you know, like as we're walking on the leash, he's pulling.
Sure. So, okay. So, first of all, you're not alone. you're a great dog mom, and I'm super happy that you're here so that we can discuss this. And because you did private lessons with me, like, you don't have to wait for the next podcast entry to reach out to me as well. Right. Cool that we're doing this. But know that you always have support. So if you're frustrated, I don't know that you're frustrated. Okay. Like, I'm sitting back here and, cause we're friends on Facebook, I get to see the posts of him in the Redwood Forest in California and having fun and all that stuff. And that's great, but don't hesitate to reach out to me. Okay. In the future. So this is a super common problem, and the easiest way for you to see what you're doing is to actually see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know what I'm going to suggest there?
Videotape.
Video. Record it. Record it. Right. Yeah. So you get your partner, you get a friend, you get whoever to stand 20 feet behind you, hold the phone sideways, and then hit record. Okay. And so, or have that person, if they see another dog, run past the other dog, turn around and record you guys. Now, that one's a little different because now the dog, especially if it's like your partner, the dog's like, what's mom or dad doing over there? You know, like in front of us, why did they run away? And honestly, I'm just thinking about this out loud. Sometimes it could probably play as a positive distraction. The dog's more focused on like, where's your partner? So but sending your partner sprinting every time you see another dog is really just a redirect of attention. It's avoiding the problem, which are so sometimes solutions to the problem. So anytime you have an unwanted behavior, I suggest one of four things and then figuring out which of the four is best for you. Do you want to A, ignore it?
Right.
B, avoid it. C, redirect it. Or D, correct it.
Right.
So, and sometimes you do a combination of typically three out of the four. So what you're going to see if you record this, when you record this, what you're going to see is, but the cool thing is that you're aware enough to know, I tense up, I pull him closer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pulling him closer. You're like, sure, you can do your best to untense yourself by what would you suggest if someone else got tense? What would you tell them to do?
Take a couple deep breaths.
Hey, take a couple deep breaths. End of sentence, right? Yeah. Like start breathe. And if you do a sigh, the dog will actually pick up on that because that they do this. They you hear them. They're, you know, they sigh after, or they'll shake the wiggles out and things like that post interaction. So if you sigh, even if it's here we go again, right? It'll signal to the dog that you are trying to calm yourself down. So take a deep breath and as much as possible, relax the leash.
Yeah.
If you can give the dog the full length of leash, knowing that even if the dog runs and hits the end of the leash, they're nowhere close to that other person. Like if you're on a fire road, as you described, I assume that just means like a dirt road, like a...
Yeah. Where like, you know,
trucks could go up. Right.
The thing I worry about that is he's pretty strong and I have a better hold of him shorter. If he's at the end, he can really kind of...
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what you're trying to do, because that's, it doesn't end there, right? We're not, that's not where it's ending. So A, position wise, if you are going to hold the leash like that, you're going to hold it at center of mass or off to the opposite side of the direction he would be going. So if he would lunge left towards the dog, I would put the end of the leash on my right hip so it came across my body. But you're absolutely right. A 70-pound male German Shepherd, or probably 80, he's a big dog, 80, 85-pound dog with as much torque as he's got behind him is going to go. So the alternative, and here's the thing about dog training, right? Like you experienced with me, is I don't just tell you, this is the thing to do, do it, right? Because that thing might actually make it worse for a different dog. Or in your situation, right? Like I can hold the leash at the end because he's an 85-pound dog with 4,000 pounds of torque. So I need to hold it shorter. Okay, well, if you need to hold it shorter, let's tie a knot in the leash somewhere where it is shorter, but gives your brain and your body a place of, what do I do in this situation? Put your hand on the knot. So the knot serves multiple factors. One, it can't, your hand is less likely to slip down the leash because it's going to hit the knot. So you're going just on the inside of the knot, right? So that way, if he does pull, your hand butt is already butted up against the knot and it's not going to go any further. But the knot is in a, is the knot is not 3 inches away from his head. Right. So a lot of people will like almost hold on to the buckle itself, hold on to the clasp of the leash. And you're signaling to the dog, like, here it comes, let's go. Right. Nine times out of 10, when someone says, my dog bit me, but he's not a, like, but it came out of nowhere and he's not aggressive, I go, were you holding the collar? Were you holding the dog's collar? He bit someone when they came in the house. That's a big one because most people don't have a leash on their dog, which is a fatal mistake at that point. Is like, just have a slip leash, put it on the dog at that point. And, you know, that way you're not holding them by their neck, right? Like that really sends signals to the dog to get jacked up. And so, so having that knot on the leash is going to give you a bit of slack, but not so much. Like, you know, it's kind of the best of both worlds, I would say, for you in this situation. If I had a little dog, I like giving them lots of room because the less tension I have on the leash, period, or the less option for, because some dogs, what they'll ultimately do is they'll avoid conflict and they'll come around you to the other side once they've actually, especially dogs that have been corrected at a level that they go, ooh, I didn't like that when I lunged, I got corrected at a level, or I ran and I hit the end of the prong collar. And that was where the correction came from. But not if the dog's going to hit the end of the prong collar and keep taking you with them, right? And not hit the end of a prong collar on any longer than like a 5-6 foot leash. The point isn't that you're, you know, you're not trying to put, you're trying to put enough pressure on the dog. If they, if that's what it gets to, like he lunges, there needs to be a consequence for the lunge. But let's back it up just before the lunge. You're saying that you're hitting the button, you think in hindsight, a little bit late. It's very hard to deal with reactivity once the dog's reacting.
Yeah.
So if you can break their focus, but you have to, you know, everyone misses this part, which is you hit the button, you pulled the leash, you sprayed the water, you did something to break the dog's focus with pressure, but you didn't actually keep their attention. It's kind of like the opposite. If you have a treat and the dog looks at the treat and immediately looks back at the dog, or eats the treat and immediately goes back, you didn't keep their attention. You didn't teach them to avoid staring, which is what you're really trying to do. And so if you were to use a treat to get past the dog, you wouldn't feed, you wouldn't reward the treat until you got past the other dog.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same thing as with the pressure. We're tapping the button, or we're tugging the leash, or we're doing some sort, or we're spraying the water. I mean, if the water doesn't work almost right away, you might as well give up on it at that point. But we're doing it until the dog looks away. Unless, like, if the dog's staring straight, unless the dog looks away, you didn't break their focus. It didn't work. Yeah. So you can either be going tap, 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 or tug, tug, tug at the leash. And for people out there that don't understand what an e-collar is, it's a TENS machine that has 100 individual levels. If you didn't do all the pre-training to the dog, like how many weeks did we do before we got into actually dealing with his reactivity on leash? Dogs need to have a foundation, right? So he understands, oh, this isn't just like some weird sensation on my neck that I don't know where it comes from. They know how to turn it off, right? So he needs to be able to understand that it means stop looking at the other dog. And so getting his attention, but you actually have to break his focus. Now, other people will be concerned, and I think this was one of your concerns, correct me if I'm wrong, but like if I hit the button when he looks at another dog, he'll be scared of the other dogs. He's already reactive and potentially nervous of the other dogs, when that's not in fact the case. He's super social. He remains to be super social. It's the frustration and the buildup of it's not natural for dogs to be on leashes. Right?
Right.
They don't understand. They would either run up or avoid people. You know, the leashes are just, after all these years, they're still not used to them, because I don't think it has really been all those years kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I don't think it's super normal for a shepherd to be doing it. Doesn't mean we don't put them on leash. So what I would recommend is we're breaking his focus beforehand, or you wait till he lunges and use more pressure to say that was wrong. But I would prefer to do the first option, which is break his focus first.
Yeah, I agree. And that is a good reminder, because I sort of wait for him. Like, if, you know, as we're walking, he's not lunging initially, he's just looking at the dog. And so I kind of want to have given him the benefit of the doubt, but I think I need to be more
consistent with is he more likely to act silly, or is he not? And then the other thing that we discovered with him is, so we were doing food training, we're doing e-collar training, we're doing a balance of both, using food, using treats, using a lot of positive reinforcement to teach the behaviors that we want him to do. And there are certain dogs, typically shepherds, border collies, typically those two seem to be the most intense, some terriers, where if you get a ball, they're just like, that's it. That's my kryptonite. I'll do anything for the ball. Now, of course, there's other things in there with the ball, but did you stop using the ball? I know that was one of the things that you started to do. Did you plateau with the ball? Did it stop working?
I stopped using the ball. We had guests for like a month, and everything sort of changed a little bit, but I kind of forgot about the ball.
Need to get back.
Cause that actually works. He, even if he has a ball in his mouth, like, he doesn't care about much else.
Fantastic. And they can take that frustration out on the ball sometimes. It really depends on your dog. It can also sometimes, like, I've got a video where I'm working with a client and someone is doing the exact technique that you're going to end up going back to, which is you take the ball, you kind of keep it up close to your chest. The dog's looking at you. He doesn't even look at the other dog. You kind of engage the ball a little bit, maybe by squeak, like ideally not a squeak. I know his has to squeak because then you're overstimulating the potentially overstimulating the other dog as well. But even if you just gave it a little squeeze before it squeaked, or just moved it a little lower and then back up again and create some movement in that, because that's what's so exciting about a ball is, you know, what's more fun? It's sitting there or it flying through the air, or it, more than flying through the air, skipping across the ground. Right. So while we're not going to be throwing the ball, just movement in your hand. But I have a video where there's someone walking with a terrier. He's doing that. And the client that I'm with had a shepherd that was very much a fun police. Oh, you look overstimulated. I'm going to run at you and kind of snap at you. Right. And that was just a matter of like, she corrected it instantly. No, clicked the button. The dog knew what to do, came right back to a heel. And it was great. So I would use the ball. I would preemptively get engaged with him. And then remember that and understand that like you going wide on the trail, that's totally cool. That's totally fine because you're not trying to socialize with the dog. So the closer you get to the dog, the harder it is. Doesn't mean there's I think it's important to like, you know, work on within at least 4 feet or something like that, but build up to it and build up to it with a friend or even your partner with one of your other dogs. Mm-hmm. They go out for an hour, right? Like you use your own pack to your advantage where, you know, someone goes out, like your partner goes out with your other dog and then you're walking down the street and you're going past.
It's a good idea.
Right. And then because he's going to be as excited, happy as he is the other way of as excited, agitated.
Right.
So you can see what techniques work to keep the dog's attention.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome.
Any other questions? I mean, not like new questions, but any questions about that advice?
No. That all makes a lot of sense.
Okay. What would be fun is maybe in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, depending on your schedule of like how much practice you get in, send me a message. Let me know how it goes. Okay. And I'll either have you back on or we'll chat or something. But again, don't hesitate to reach out. Like you've paid for ongoing support. So use it. I'm super stoked to talk to you and glad to see, you know, him off leash and having so much fun.
Yeah,
so
he's doing great overall.
Yay.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Super proud of you. Okay. Thanks. I'll let you know when this comes out.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye. Oh, I wonder what this song is. Sounds like a whistle. Did you know that mustaches invented the whistle? That's completely true. Ooh, I think I like this new outro song. Maybe each week we play around with a new song. And I do a little mustache dance. You can see the dance, right? You can imagine each side going up and down, up and down. Great time. For a second there I sounded like Borat, and he is my cousin, but distant relative. Different face, really. Maybe we just let the song play out. Nope, changed my mind. Bye!